Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
State Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner State Newsletter. Comes out once a week along with this podcast. Free for anyone to receive it. Feel free to forward it along if you like it or know someone who would like it. And if you do like the podcast, really appreciate a review on iTunes. I also am a broker here at Daniels Trading. I work with online traders, broker-assisted, and hybrid is a very popular category, which is a mix of both speculators and hedgers. I write some newsletters for clients, too. My market alert is our spec ideas for any of the clients that want to receive it. And then Turner's Take Ag Marketing is for farmers and hedgers. All my contact information is in the show notes and also on the website, turnerstake.com, which has the spec website, and then turnerstakeag.com, which is the farming and the hedging website. Alrighty, so we're going to start today with the stock market and really just the macro markets, how we always talk about it. So it's really steady as she goes now. It looks like that, you know, the tariffs being reintroduced was just more of a speed bump. I'm sure it's slowing down the economy a little bit, but, you know, instead of having 3% growth, maybe we're now at, you know, in the high twos or something like that. High to low twos somewhere. And we're trying to make new highs in the stock market, and you know, earnings have been pretty good. You know, it's not gangbusters, we're not in a recession. It's just that's just the way it is, and I don't see any reason why it wouldn't be like that for a while. You know, even the Fed is talking about a little bit of a rate cut here as we head into the end of the year. There's no, you know, the GDP and the unemployment reports have been okay. I've been good too. So yeah, that is kind of our view. It will probably be interesting to see what happens with the dollar, but the stock market and the macro markets look fairly stable. So that is really the macro environment, you know, from where we sit right now. So knowing that and not really having to worry a whole lot about any kind of systemic risk in the market, let's turn our attention to the WASDE. Oh, by the way, I still like being long the stock market. It's something that I've been talking about now for the past 100 or so S&P points. And I still like, you know, if you don't want to be long the big futures, they have those micros now. I still like it. I think it's a nice way to be long the stock market. A lot more efficient, too, with your funds. Instead of being 100% in, you know, the cash spider, you can just be in the micro or the mini S&P. All right, so here we go. WASDE is coming up on Thursday. So that's going to be a little bit less than 48 hours from now. We're going to see what the USDA says. All right, here's the deal. This is the July WASDE. They're going to use the June acreage report. They always do. Last time they didn't, I think, was 93. But because they've pretty much already said they're going to use, you know, the chief economist for the USDA pretty much said they're going to use the June numbers. So, I mean, I think you got to take him at that word, and it's going to be 91.7 for corn and 80 million for soybeans. So, just based on that, you're kind of thinking, all right, well, maybe this report will be tend to be on the bearish side for corn and tends to be on the bullish side for beans, right? When we see let me get my spreadsheet up as we're talking here. Here we go. I got my corn and soybean spreadsheet up. So, you know, we have a 91.7 planted. Even if the USDA wants to get on the WASDE a little aggressive with harvested acres, bring it down to 90% of planted acres instead of the usual 92%, you still get 82.5 million acres harvested. USDA yield last month was 166. Now, that is the big variable here. What does the USDA do with this yield number? Do they keep it at 166? Sure hope they don't raise it. But with the good to excellent ratings, you know, at 57%, it's well below the five-year average, which I want to say is in the mid-60s. So that should be, so that justifies a 166 yield. Does it justify lower, 164, 163, 162? I don't know how much the USDA is going to knock this out. I think they originally went yield from 176 to 166, you know, just because the crop was planted so late. But now we're getting good to excellent ratings, and you know, what's the USDA is going to do on this? That's going to be the big question for me on Thursday. I mean, holy Moses, if they end up increasing yields, but I think it's more likely. I can see, my gut is they keep it the same. I bet, you know, or just ratchet it down a little bit, and then August is the big number. You know, August is where they do the planting resurvey, and they make the big adjustments to yield. But I got to tell you, the USDA has thrown so many curveballs so far already this year between the March stocks, the planting intentions, coming the yield down 10%, you know, 10 bushel BPA, you know, right from the, you know, in the June report, June WASD. So, I don't know. Let's see what happens here, you know, with that. I'm kind of neutral with corn. I have a buy. My bias for corn after this WASD report is, unless there's some huge surprise in it, probably to the bullish side, because I think for the rest of July and into August, we're going to be talking about how much lower acres and how much in the yield, because I can't see the conditions getting that, you know, getting back to average, right? I can't see the trend line getting back to average, especially what's going on in some of the, you know, in Iowa, not in Iowa, in Illinois, in Indiana, Ohio, parts of South Dakota, Nebraska. It's hard to see us get the trend line. It's hard to see the rest of the country do that well to bring us back up the trend line. So now the question is, how much lower are we really than trend? 166 fair? Should it be, is it going to come down? If it comes down, it's I kind of don't think it's going to be July. I really think it's going to be August, but again, you never know. And also, I mean, here's another thing with the ending stocks for old crops probably increase. Like, we're behind pace on exports, right? So ending stocks is probably going to increase. So, you know, I'm thinking ending stocks for new crop corn could be like 1.6 or 1.7 billion. Which doesn't really justify 430 new crop corn. I mean, if that was truly the number, we'd be around four and coming down and breaking now, right? So obviously the trade doesn't really believe that. So heading into the report, I'm a little bit bearish. If I'm long a lot of corn, if I'm long a lot of old crop in the bin, I'd either be looking to sell some or to be buying puts, like short-term puts out of this, just in case. For Turner's Take Ag Marketing, we're now 100% at old crop. Sold our last 20% this week. And ended up having an old crop average price about $4.25, which, considering, you know, I mean, this is going back from, I mean, these crop cycles take, you know, you start marketing them when they're new crop, you know, before they're even in the ground sometimes. And now here we are. You know, this is corn from harvest last season, and we're finally done with it. And have a 425 average, I'm pretty happy with it compared to where corn prices have been, you know, in the past 18 months when we first started, you know, marketing that crop. I think I'm pretty proud of that. And then with new crop, we are 50% sold. And we're going to wait it out a little while longer to see what happens here. Because here's the thing. I do think we have a 4 to 6 week period of where the corn market can go higher if some things go right for it. And it's going to be probably after. I'm thinking it's going to be, we'll see what happens this WASD. It could be bullish. I'd be surprised. But from here to the August WASD. And if the corns, you know, a lot of the corn conditions aren't improving as much as you think they would, especially in Ohio, Indiana, Illinois, I think Michigan too, because the conditions these things were planted in, and we're so far behind. So the yields in those states are really going to get hurt. I think between that speculation and the uncertainty, and the between the uncertainty of the yields because of how they were planted, in those states east of the Mississippi, the Eastern Corn Belt, and then the uncertainty of how much acres are going to come down, I think that's where we see the last run here. Plus, we'll be talking about frost, which is actually, usually it's kind of, a lot of times I kind of roll my eyes on the frost thing when I first hear it because we're planting all the crop in April. But this year, I'm not. Like, that's a real concern, especially, and also a shorter growing season is a real concern, too. So I'm glad I'm sold out of old crop. I'm glad we're 50% on new crop. If I'm looking to re-own, I'm going to be probably doing it after the July WASDE, before, you know, in that period leading up to the August WASDE, hoping for a bullish report. And during that time, too, probably get more aggressive with selling new crop and the 2020 crop, too. Here's the thing. While I have a bullish expectation, probably, let's say, in the second half of July and the first half of August for corn, after that, it's hard for me to see the bullish catalyst. After that, we're going to know what the corn market's the corn market, right? The prices will be the price. And then what's going to happen? There's still a lot of corn out there around the world, you know, which could be used, you know, to supplement our exports. There's a lot of wheat out there that, you know, corn can be, you know, that feed corn can go into Kansas City hybrid wheat, which we're already hearing about. And we'll have a lot of acres in South America for corn next year. And I would think, just based on where prices are right now with corn, probably gonna have a lot of corn acres in the United States next year too. So, you know, I don't usually get that aggressive this time of year about crop years going farther out. You know, it's like 2020, for example. But I actually think this is a pretty good time to start thinking about that if you're a farmer. If you're a spec trader and you want to get long, my gut is just telling me that this report's not going to be so great for corn. See how it plays out in Thursday and Friday, and maybe buying some into the weekend. And let's see if the conversation turns about lower acres and lower yield starting next week. That's kind of the way I would look at it for the near part. So if I'm kind of looking at this as a time frame, bearish now into the report, I'm thinking on corn, bullish between after that until the WASDE, see what that August WASDE is, and then sometime in between late August and September, really got to start thinking about 2020 and the new crop and how we're going to handle that. So that's what we're looking at on corn. I'm not so even, I don't see the big deal about wheat. I don't see why it's trading up here. I don't know why. I mean, we're going to have 1 billion bushels. We're going to have plenty of hardwood winter wheat. Probably going to have a lot of Chicago wheat, too. I know they've been having some issues, but there's plenty of wheat around the world. Probably going to keep on going lower, I would think. And you look at the export market and the dollar, it's not good for wheat at all. December Chicago wheat is at, what, 515? And the September Chicago wheat is about $5 now, testing $5. We break through that, that's no good. And I don't think the WASDE, I think we're going to have 1 billion bushels of wheat when the WASDE comes out on Thursday. And we have, you know, and soft red winter wheat is above $5. So I don't know how long that's going to last, unless corn's going to have to prop it up, which may for the next couple of months or the next 4 to 6 weeks. But after that, where's the story in wheat? And I just don't see it. Now, beans, I think, could be a little bullish heading into the WASDE. I don't think beans are a bullish story. I'm just saying that there could be some bullish reaction to the soybeans on this number. The reason being is USDA is probably going to use that 80 million acres. Even if people don't believe it, they're going to have to use that 80 million acres. A lot of people out there think that corn number is lower, that bean acreage number is higher. So at 80 million acres, and... Oh, and by the way, the stocks report as of June was ending stocks a little bit lower, so for the quarterly stocks. So we should, in theory, old crop stocks should come down a little bit. We should see 80 million acres. And here's the thing. What is going to happen with that yield on corn? On soybeans. It was 49.5 on the last WASDE. So what's going to happen now? Is it going to be... Are they going to lower it? Because in the last time for corn, you know, they lowered the corn yields because everything was so late, right? And they went from 176 to 166. Well, now we're in the same kind of window where if USDA did want to start lowering down yield, they would do it here. You know, 53% good to excellent is well below the average on soybeans good to excellent. So you know, and we're planted so late, I would think, the question is in my mind is how much they bring down yield. You know, are they a little bit more conservative this time after the little minor fiasco with the acreage report? So they don't get as aggressive as they might normally would have. Also, they know they got to use that 80 million acres, you know, and do they? So if harvested acres is, you know, 79 million, and you have a 49.5 yield, you know, your production is about 3.9 billion. You know, you have an ending stocks of about, let's say, 800 million, right? But if your yield's, you know, 47, you know, all of a sudden production's 3.7 billion, and your ending stocks are about 600 million. What if the USDA got really aggressive and they put a 45 yield, which that would be blowing your kind of my socks off if they did that, by the way. You know, if they went 80 million acres and a 45 yield, now all of a sudden production's 3.5, 3.6 billion, all right? And ending stocks are in the 400s. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, why aren't beans making a run at 10 bucks at that point? I think 45 is real aggressive. I wouldn't be surprised if it was closer to 47.5. But I thought 166 number was aggressive last month. And you consider this too, the funds are still short. I want to say of the last commitment traders, they were short 60 or 70,000 contracts. So if we get a real bullish surprise, not only is it a bullish surprise in what's been a bearish, you know, take for soybeans, you know, the funds are leaning the wrong way too. So I did write today about both in Turner's Take Ag Marketing and Turner's Take Market Alert about my soybean idea. It's kind of a pure play on the WASD report, you know, using some cheap calls. Just as a flyer, it really is a flyer bet. You know, it's a couple of cents for the option. And if the USDA throws a curveball, which they've already thrown a couple pretty big ones this year at us already, you know, that might be, you know, we're not that far out of the money, especially for soybeans. And if we're wrong, that's a few cents. It's not a big deal. So I did like that idea. If you're interested in that, you can go to, you know, Turner's Take. It was in Turner's Take Ag Marketing and Turner's Take Market Alert today. If you didn't see it, you can certainly shoot me an email or give me a call. So that's how I'm feeling about soybeans. I would think if this report is bullish, and depending on how bullish it is, you got to let it run. It takes 2 days for the WASDE report to trade, but you know, if it's very, very bullish, then, you know, there's reason to think there'll be follow through. If, you know, it's just, you know, somewhat of a surprise, you know, it's probably going to get, the pros are going to probably sell it. So we'll just see what that WASD is. But I don't know. I mean, if we can, again, it's all about that yield. So when that number, long story short, when that number gets released on Thursday, there's two things I'm looking at. I'm looking at, did they change the yield for corn? Did they change the yield for soybeans? Where does that put our in their ending stocks and our stock to usage ratio? And we're going to have to make a decision on where we think prices are going with respect to what do we think they're going to say in August. All right. So that's where we are. It's going to be a good one, I think. I think there's going to be one surprise in this WASD coming up. And again, if you're long, a lot of old crop corn in the bin, I would seriously look at some short-dated puts heading into it. If you're sold out like me, an old crop, which I am, I also put out a recommendation, you know, for the hedge email to go ahead and take a look at some call spreads if you still think there's some upside potential. I think there could be. I would probably wait to do it after, probably do half before the WASD and half after, just because what if the USDA does bring yields down to 160? But I'm very comfortable with the prices that we sold old crop at, you know, for corn. And for soybeans, I think we have potential for a pop here. And wheat, I don't, wheat's just going to follow corn either way. Then we've got, all right, so those are the grain markets. That's the WASD. If you need anything, you want to talk about marketing or the spec trading ahead of it, let me know. Finally, we're going to wrap up with the livestock cattle. Ed wrote about that last week and talked about it. Looks like we are breaking out here. I like the futures. I like call spreads. I like there was a futures spread I was writing about this week, too, that we're in. And I do think I do think we put in seasonal lows there, and there's a lot of fundamental seasonal technical supporting, you know, arguments for liking live cattle down here. I also think hogs are interesting. I think with the hog market, we're seeing lower weights. We've really gotten beat up, and now the United States and China are talking, and some more hearing more about African swine flu, and just the huge scope of, you know, it's probably worse than it's been reported. You know, the hog market could find some support here too, which traditionally it usually does in the summer, and it really hasn't. It's missed out on its, you know, traditional demand and higher prices for the summer, though it did really rally, you know, during the African swine flu news, when seasonally it would, hogs would go lower, but this time around it went higher, so it's probably evened out by now. So I like limited risk ways to be long in the hog market. For the cattle, I don't mind getting a little bit more aggressive. For the wheat, longer term bearish, short term bullish for corn after this report, but longer term bearish. And I think while the beans fundamentals right now are kind of bullish, I mean bearish, I think this WASDE report may have a little bit of a bullish tinge to it. And I always like a little bit of exposure to the stock market. So that's where I am right now on a lot of these things. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me. All of my contact information is in the show notes. Happy to talk to you anytime. And if you do like this podcast, please go to iTunes and give it a positive review. It would be fantastic. All right. Well, thanks a lot. Have a great week. Good luck with the WASDE. And yeah, talk to you soon.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors, such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.